Thank you today. We praise you for the promises that we have in you. The promise, salvation, eternity in heaven with you, the King of Kings. And we just thank you today, Lord, that you have drawn us into your family, that you have drawn us into your kingdom. And I pray right now, if there is anyone here who does not know you, that you would touch their heart today, and that they would hear your voice, and that they would hear it clearly, and that you would give them the strength to respond to your calling to them. Lord, let the word go out now, and let it go out in power. Let it change our lives. Lord, help us to hear it and to receive it. And give Pastor Brad boldness and love to speak it, just like you've given it to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, again, it's good to be back with you. I missed you guys. We've been talking about growing our faith, and we've talked and we've been sharing about the 12 planks, about building a bridge of faith, and we're talking about this unshakable bridge or this unshakable faith. We're talking about God's total awareness. God's total awareness. Did you know God is aware of everything that's happening in your life? In that little book, Bridge of Faith, the little caption under God's total awareness, Troy writes, God is aware of all that is happening in my life. He has not forgotten me. He has promised only to allow those things to come into my life that can be of benefit to his kingdom and ultimately to me. He knows what he is doing, and I must trust him. So let me ask you a question. Is God really concerned about everything that's going on in your life? Definitely so. We're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about an individual who probably felt insignificant. Probably felt like there was little worth that she had. And yet God meets her in a marvelous and a miraculous way. In Genesis chapter 16, you will find the story of Abram, before his name was changed, and Sarai, before her name was changed to Sarah, and her handmaiden or her slave named Hagar. This is a very interesting story. In that we find that, did you know that godly people can make some really stupid mistakes? Well, that was what was taking place in this story. So God had promised Abram and Sarah that they were going to have a kid, a child. Well, years had passed, 15 years, 20 years. 25 years, 50 years had passed, and there was no child. And Sarai had this brilliant idea. What if, Abraham, you have sexual relationships with my handmaiden, marry her, you'll have two wives, why don't you have sexual relationships with her, and then we will have a kid by her? Abram thought, well, that's a great plan. Until she became pregnant. And then it was not so brilliant. Can you even imagine the difficulty in that home? You talk about a family messed up. That became a family messed up. Because Hagar, because she became pregnant and Sarah couldn't, she began treating Sarah with contemptuous behavior. oh, I'm pregnant. You're not. I don't have to do what you say because I'm pregnant. You know, I might harm the baby. And Sarah had enough of it. And she's told Abraham, look, this Hagar lady, I'm fed up. And it's not going to go any further. And Abram, of course, being the smart man he is, he said, Sarah, do whatever you need to do. It's your choice. You handle it. Do whatever you need to do. Well, Sarah became Sarai, became very malicious. She became intimidating. She became angry. And she let Hagar have it. From the time they got up in the morning, time they got to bed at night, Hagar couldn't do anything right. And so we're going to pick up in verse 7 of chapter 16 and find out what happens. Hagar decides, I'm going to run away. And so Hagar runs away. Now you got to pay attention. Go ahead into the next slide, brother. And so you got to understand that Abram was probably the most wealthy man in the region at that time. You have to understand that because Hagar was a slave, that she had everything she needed. She had a place to live. She had food to eat. She had a place to sleep. It was bad, but it was going to get worse. Because when she ran away, she had no place to go. She was all alone. She was homeless. She was pregnant. And she was scared to death. So picking up in verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. Now, it's interesting the wording there that he found her. It's not like he had ever lost her. But he found her in the wilderness by the spring of water. And the angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from? Where are you going? And Sarai replied, I'm running away from my mistress. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. And then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears, for the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives. Therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. And she also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? So the well was named Beer Lahoi Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. It can still be found between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave Abraham a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. So, can you imagine being in Hagar's position? She was forced to have sexual relationships with her mistress's husband. She became pregnant by her mistress's husband. And then her mistress went ballistic on her. And the only recourse she saw for peace was to run away. Now, mind you, she brought all this kind of on herself by her attitude towards Sarai. Do you know when you find yourself in a wilderness place that oftentimes it's because of the choices we make? Just saying. Sometimes it's their attitude. You know, I've known people who have, because of their choices, have cut every bridge with family, with friends, with cousins, with everybody. And they're all alone and they wonder, how did I get here? And they blame it on everybody else. Okay? And it's the choices they've made. Hagar made some horrible choices and she wound up in a wilderness place. But I want you to understand something. When she was in this wilderness place, she was crying out to the Lord. Did you know that when you're in the wilderness and it's on your own choices that God hears you? Even when you've put yourself there. The first thing I want you to recognize in verse 13 is that God sees you. God sees you. He's aware of you. In verse 13, thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" It's like Hagar was saying, "You see me. You see my pain. You see the rejection. You see my sorrow. You see my heartache. You see everything about me. Lord, you see me." Now, living with Abraham, she knew he saw Abraham because the Lord would come and visit with Abraham on occasion. Abraham was a very godly man, and he would pray constantly, and the Lord would answer his prayers. But Hagar is kind of like, "I'm just a slave. Would God ever be aware of me? Would God ever be aware of me?" Let me ask you a question. When were you first aware of God? There was a God. He was the creator and he created you. Do you remember that? I think I kind of grew up with that. Some of you, it became an epiphany later on in age. It was not always the case with that. But somehow God revealed himself to you and you knew there was a God. Let me ask you a second question. The second question is this. When was it that you discovered that God was aware of you? He saw you. And I'm not just talking about saw the bad things you did. All right? And I mean, I grew up with. God saw everything I did, and it was all wrong, and God was going to take care of that. Okay? But when did you discover, and you might need to ponder on that. You may have never really been aware that God sees you. Several instances in my life where I recognized that God saw me. One of them had to do with provision. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and I shared with Michael. When Troy and I were on revival in Orofino, Idaho, there was a pastor there whose name was Grover Garrett. And while I was there, he said, "Brad," of course I had Grandy with me, and he said, "Brad, I'm going to Lima, Peru, and I'd like for you to come and take Grandy with you." He said, "Would you like to go?" I said, "Sure, I'd like to go. How much is it going to cost?" He said, $2,500. I swallowed hard, said, "I'll pray about it." I really didn't pray about it. I was making $100 a week at the time as music and youth minister. And I just kind of forgot about it. And then one day, Cynthia, I don't know, we hadn't talked about it, hadn't did anything, but I know it was the Lord. Cynthia said, Brad, why don't you want to go to Peru? And when she said that, I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And it's like, all right, I'm going to go to Peru. I don't know how. So that was in the fall. We had the revival. We were not leaving till May. So I called Grover. I said, I really feel like the Lord wants me to go to Peru. He said, okay, well, I'll be planning on that. I talked to my pastor at the time, and I was serving as music and youth minister in Odell, Oregon, the big metropolis, and First Baptist Church. And I talked to my pastor on Sunday afternoon. He said, well, he kind of smiled and snickered and said, why don't we just take up an offering this evening at church? So we had a Sunday morning and Sunday evening service. And so we took up an offering. And you know how much we got? $35. Go God! But do you know that was just enough to get my passport? And so I took that $35. I went and bought my passport. I'm like, okay, God. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're going to do something. So every week or so, Grover would call me and say, Brad, you got your money yet? Not yet. So the Sunday night before we were to leave to Peru, and I was so confident that God wanted me to go to Peru, I was going to go to the airport and wait till somebody gave me a ticket. I knew. So Sunday evening, he called me, and Grover says, Brad, you got your money yet? I said, not yet. He said, well, here's what's taking place. He said, I've been trying to sell a house in Denver, Colorado for 10 years. Wednesday, it's closing. I want to buy your ticket. So I want you to be at the airport. See, God was aware of me. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing story. I think about it, and it's like, man, that's just amazing that God would think of me and hold me in that regard. And here's the weirdest thing. I took Grandy, and he broke when I was there. His jaw broke. And I'm wondering, God, why did you even send me there? And I think it was just because he wanted to show me his faithfulness to me. God is amazing. God is aware of me. Little old me, he's aware of me. And he's aware of the thing. He knows when I get up. He knows when I go to bed. There's a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 says, what is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin, but not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. In Luke 12, 7, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered, and some people have more hair than others. But do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And I think of those passages of Scripture, and I watch the birds. They fly to the ground, they pick up a worm, or they eat a seed. And did you know that God was aware of every single one of those birds, and he provides for them? Every bird, it says that God is aware of them, and every time they come to the ground or fly up in a tree, God sees them, he's aware of them. And how much more is he aware of you, and how much more value are you than a little bird? Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing God who would care about you and care about me to such an extent. That's incredible. And he's got all of the universe that he has created. And his eye, we sing a song, his eye is on the sparrow. And we know that he watches over you. How glorious, how precious, how marvelous is that? How marvelous. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 31. For consider your calling, brethren, that not many of you are wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that just as it is written, let all who boast, boast in the Lord. Do you feel insignificant? Do you feel like your life is just kind of not all that grand? I want you to know that God sees you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Did you know that Moses felt insignificant? Taking care of sheep, the backside of the desert, he felt insignificant. He said, oh, here I am. Lord, every day, 40 years, taking care of sheep. Lord, here I am. Sure is wonderful taking care of these sheep. If you want to use me, great. I'm getting to be a good shepherd. David, same thing, sheep. There was a little girl named Hadassah. Insignificant in the land of Babylon. Later changed her name to Esther. She saved a nation. Insignificant. God has a plan. For each one of us, God has a plan for every single one of us. Listen to this, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. Whoa. Did you know that you were God's masterpiece? Isn't that pretty incredible? You are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so that you could do the good things he planned for you long ago. Wow. Second thing I want to call to your attention regarding this passage of Scripture is that not only does God see you, he hears your cries of distress. Hagar was surprised by the fact that God heard her prayers. He heard her cries of distress. Now, she didn't know at the moment when she was crying out that he heard her. But every time we find in Scripture, every time you are in a distressful situation and you call out to the Lord will hear your cries. Here, this is so sweet. God said, I want you to name your son Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears your prayer. So every time she would call Ishmael, Ishmael, God hears my prayer. Ishmael, God hears my prayer. God hears my prayer. God hears my prayer. Every time she called his name, she was reminded that God heard her prayer. Isn't that awesome? We could have talked about a wild child in this passage. Because that's what Scripture said, Ishmael was going to be a wild child. And I'm sure being a wild child, she called his name quite often. Ishmael! God hears my prayer. God hears my prayer. God hears my prayer. Time after time after time after time, God heard her prayer. You know what? Hagar was different that day. Something transformed her that day because she knew that God saw her. And she knew that God heard her prayer. Do you really know that God sees you? Do you really know that he's that in tune with you? Did you know that he knows what makes you tick and what ticks you off? Did you know that? Man, Hagar was like, man, what an epiphany. God sees me. God hears my prayer just like he heard Abram's prayer. God hears me. God hears me. God hears me. Praise the Lord. She was never the same again. I think Renee read this passage of scripture not long ago. Psalm 107, 4 through 7, they wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. Didn't find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and in their distress, God delivered them. Psalm 107, those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in miry misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of the God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. These were rebels going contrary to the word of God. But then he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled. There was none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distress. Isn't that a wonderful God? Doesn't matter how far we get away from God. Don't matter how rebellious we become toward God and his word, when we call out to him in distress, he hears us. Nobody's too far gone. And he brought them out of the shadow of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. 107, 17 through 20. Fools, because of their rebellious way, there it is again, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them all of their distresses. He sent word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Did you know that some people only call upon the Lord on their deathbed? And what happens to those who call upon the Lord on their deathbed? He hears them. He saves them. He delivers them. He doesn't ever just kick them to the curb and say, I'm done with you. And that's an incredible God. But he always hears in times of distress when we call. The third thing I want to call to your attention in this passage of Scripture is that the Lord desired to guide Hagar, and he will also guide your life. That passage of scripture, the angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from? Where are you going? Did you know that God, when he asks us questions, it's not for information? He already knows. Where did you come from? Where are you going? Did you know that God knows everything? Did you know God knows your ancestry? My brother went on to ancestry.com to find out where his ancestors came from. I guess that's where my ancestries would come from, too. But, you know, it was kind of like Scotland in the area. I know my mom was French. My grandmother, great-grandmother, no, I guess it was my grandmother, lived in New Orleans. She was French out of New Orleans. Dad's side of the family was German. I know that. That's about all I know. Because I really haven't traced back. But did you know that God knows my ancestry? And he can trace me all the way back to Adam. Cynthia and I were reading 1 Chronicles this last week. First 12 chapters is chronology. Words you can't pronounce. names. You know, if they had names like Billy and Sam and Jack. But God can pronounce all those names. God knows who you are. He created your DNA. It's a marvel. He says to Hagar, where are you from? Where'd you come from? She says, I'm running away from Sarah. But you know, she had no response to the second question. Where are you going? She quit when she answered, well, I'm running away from Sarah. Where are you going? No response. But she didn't know where she was going. She didn't know where she was going. And I think that's a question that every single one of us need to answer for ourselves. Where are you headed? You know where you're from. You know where you've come from. You know where you lived before you moved to Tillamook. You know where your parents lived. You know where you lived growing up. But the most important question is, where are you going? A very important question. Because if you don't have an answer to where you're going, and particularly in your spiritual life, where you're going to wind up is not a very good place. So where are you going? Where are you going in your physical life? And where are you going in your spiritual life? There was a man one time who came up to an individual, a young man. He said, well, so what are you going to do when you finish high school? Well, I'm going to go to college. Oh, well, then what? Well, I hope to get a job in a big company and make good money. And well, then what? Well, I'm going to retire and hopefully just travel the world and enjoy life. Well, then what? Well, I guess I'll die. Then what? Then what? Where are you headed? That's the question. Where are you headed? So Hagar had run away from her position. God was creating a masterpiece with Hagar, and Hagar decided she didn't like what God was drawing, and she stepped off the pedestal or the, what do you call that thing? Easel, thank you. Stepped off the easel and started going her own way, making her own plans, doing her own thing. And then the angel of the Lord said to her in verse 9, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Don't you know that was hard? Don't you know that was hard for Hagar to do? Oftentimes when the Lord tells us to go someplace or do something, it's not always easy. It's not always fun. It's not always convenient. And so the angel of the Lord told Hagar, go back and submit to your master. Go back and submit to your master. Some of you possibly have been drifting away from the Lord. Some of you are in the wilderness, not sure of your next step, and you're thirsty and dry spiritually. And you sought satisfaction in other things that really cannot satisfy. There's a thirst in your soul that none of the world's goods can satisfy. Here's what the Lord is saying. Return to the Lord. Return to your master. Submit to him. Then you will be refreshed. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Scripture says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." There may be some of you here today, kind of in the wilderness. You've been going on your own plan, doing your own thing. You said, "This is what I'm going to do," and it hasn't turned out the best for you. The invitation this morning is this, for those who are gathered here as well as those who are watching on Zoom. Would you obey what the angel of the Lord is saying is return to the Lord? Return to your master. Return to what he has told you to do and follow him. Like I've said earlier, it's not the easiest thing sometimes. But it's the best. It's the most rewarding. God has a plan for you. And you can follow his plan or you can follow your own plan. So which plan are you on this morning? Do you want the refreshing of the Lord? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.